Welcome back
to the Dead to the World podcast.
I'm Lexi.
And I'm Mama Dawn.
And that's it.
That's it. That's all you get today. Tasha actually was unavailable to record today. So I hope that you'll still enjoy just the two of us.
You're getting the dream team minus
a dreamer.
The eam. I don't know.
The
I was
eam.
Trying to see how much of the word she makes up. It would be more than just the eam.
Yeah. But so how's work, Lexi? Your new job, how's it going?
Pretty good. I say good. Defeatedly. Just kidding. It's going fine. Today, especially, was like stressful. I had a lot of people telling me how to do a task in many different ways.
Oh, well,
and I'm noticing that kind of happens a lot. So it's just hard to figure out how I'm actually supposed to do it.
So it's like you gotta figure out what the end result needs to be, and then you can decide which way to get there.
Yeah, pretty much. But yeah, overall, so far, so good. I like it. And I like the people I work with. So I'm happy.
Well, yeah. Didn't your boss tell you you're doing like a good job?
Yeah, she did. We had like our first one-on-one. We do monthly ones. And she told me I was doing pretty good for how long that I had been there. So
awesome. You're super smart. I knew you would do good.
Thank you.
Yeah. I think I mentioned before that I was having like neuropathy in my legs. So we took some medication and it like left for about a week. But it came back last night with a vengeance. It was so crazy. I woke up in the middle of the night and then went back to sleep. And you know when you have something bothering you and it like enters your dreams?
Mm-hmm.
So I kept dreaming that I was like asking my dad or asking like you guys to take me to the ER because my legs were bothering me so much. And then I woke up and I was like, oh my gosh, this is crazy. I like messaged my doctor in the middle of the night. Luckily, he sees the messages in the morning.
What a good doctor.
Good doctor. But yeah, and then I went back to sleep and then I was dreaming like it was my work people. Like I was trying to get my boss to take me to the ER.
That's funny.
So, but I have medication now. I'll be okay. We're going to do an MRI of my back to see why it's happening. Hopefully they actually find something that's treatable.
Is that caused by like a pinched nerve or something? Okay.
Yeah, like somewhere in my lower back, my nerves from my legs are being pinched.
Your nerves are angry.
But it's like I haven't been in an... I mean, I did fall over the Dutch oven, but this was actually happening to me on and off before that. So I don't really know what it is. But I had an MRI in my brain. Apparently, it's normal.
She got abducted by aliens.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. I didn't tell that story, did I?
No.
So I had an MRI last week. And when I was like in there and... I'm claustrophobic, so I take like a Valium before I go. So I was pretty relaxed. I'm in there just doing my thing. And then all of a sudden she's like, hey, are you wearing metal anywhere, earrings? And I'm like, no. And she was like saying, there's like some artifact showing up in the image that was like by my right ear.
I like the use of the word artifact.
Yes.
It wasn't unknown object. It was artifact.
That's what they call it because metal shows up white and so it makes it so they can't see like other things around it because it like reflects or something like that. So she came out and like we looked at my ear. I'm like, no, my earrings are out. I don't have any bobby pins. Like I don't have any, I have dental work, but it's all porcelain. Like I don't have any metal in my mouth. And so, you know, she had me actually get out of the machine so that they could take one of the employees and put them in and just do a little bit of an image so they could see if it was something that was wrong with the MRI machine. No, it's in my head.
What the heck?
And then I get the report from, I can like see it online, the report from the, you know, from the doctor, what do they call them?
Like your my
radiologist?
Health thing? Oh, MRIologist.
There you go. No, there's some name for the doctors that read them. I just can't think of it right now. And then anyway, so I read it and there is like white matter, which is kind of like events in your brain. Like if you don't get a good blood flow or something, it creates these white spots. But they're saying like for my age, that's pretty normal. Like sometimes you just have things happen up there apparently.
White spots in the brain.
I guess. I haven't seen it. And then they said like there was the artifact in there that was like making it hard to see some of the images. But then that was it. Like, they didn't say anything about what it is, because I think in their mind, they're thinking, I probably know what it is or something. Like, I know if I have metal in me. So I sent a message back to my doctor, and I'm like, yeah, I get the MRI is normal, except for I don't have metal. So what in the hell is in my head?
Yeah, that is weird.
But yeah, I called dad when they had me move out of the MRI machine, because he was out in the waiting room waiting for me, and they had me sit by my stuff, so... I called him and told him, and he's like, you got abducted by aliens, and they put something in your head.
That's what I'm going with.
Yeah. Well, with all the crazy shit I've had going on with, like, my health that they can't figure out, I'm like, what is in my head?
Yeah,
maybe that's causing problems.
Yeah, maybe it's just sitting in right in the right spot to be causing all of this
like
chaos
and stuff. Yeah, I don't know. It's so crazy. But anyway, yep, I probably got abducted by aliens. And then I also actually did something fun this weekend. I had three friends from high school that we actually met up in Park City and had a girls' weekend. It was so much fun.
There's memes about that where it's like people actually are finally wherever and doing whatever they plan. It's like when the plans finally make it out of the group chat.
Yeah. Or when I saw one that one of my friends sent to me, actually, and it was like a bunch of 80-year-old ladies. Like, we finally got together for our girls' trip. But we figured it's probably been like 25 years.
Holy crap.
No, it's even been longer, more like 28 years since we've actually, like, we get together for dinner once or twice a year, but, like, since we've actually, like, hung out, like, had more time together. And it was funny because we'd go sit at the restaurant, and we're so used to, like, having to, we eat, we talk at the restaurant. Then at some point, the restaurant's kind of, like, getting a little rude, like, are you going to leave? Like, you guys have been here too long. So then we go out in the parking lot and, like, stand there for, like, an hour and still keep talking. And so this time, like, we're at dinner, and we're talking and talking and talking. All of a sudden, we're like, oh,
we can leave.
We have a room. Like, we can leave. It was really nice. I don't remember the name of the place now. Mountain Inn or something like that. Right on the main drag in Park City. It was nice. Little suites.
Nice.
We did apothecary jar crafting. It was awesome.
I was jealous. You were sending Snapchats and I was like, wait, that looks fun. I was like, I want to go.
Yeah, it's so funny though. It's like, I'm almost 50 and it's like, wait, how did I get to be that old? And my friends, the same. It's like, we're having so much fun. It's like, we're not 50. We're not almost 50.
Age is just a number.
Agreed. It's just a number. Yeah.
That is how I feel. Literally every single year, the older I get, I come even more to the realization that you never feel like an adult.
Nope.
Yesterday, I was actually thinking, because at work, I said something about, like, we needed an adult's advice or something. And one of the other girls laughed and she was like, we are all adults, like, like, what do you mean?
That's us.
and I was kind of thinking about it. I was like, oh, honestly, I think in my head, I'm like, you're not an adult until you have kids.
Oh,
like,
that makes sense.
When me being, well, I'm freaking 25, when I think of an adult, I'm thinking of someone who, like, has children, who just knows more because they've done more.
Well, you know, it is true. I mean, children does bring a level of maturity. Because all of a sudden you're responsible for somebody else's life.
Yeah.
So you can't be such a screw up. Like, you really have to
be such a screw up. And guess what? If you never have kids, then you're just cool, young.
Yeah.
For
then
life.
You become the aunt or the funcle.
Yeah.
Like the fun aunt or the fun uncle. And that's a good job. It's a very good job.
It's a very good job.
So,
anyway.
So wait, you were telling me about some painting or something you were doing?
Okay. Yeah. So it's not actual painting. I don't know any of you listeners, if you've seen them, I keep getting them on TikTok, which is what made me want to do it. But it's like it's like a canvas. It has, like, you know, like paint by color type stuff.
By number.
By number. Yeah. That's what I mean. It's basically that. But instead of actually painting, it's like these tiny little circular diamonds.
Oh.
And it comes with this little applicator that you stick wax to on one side, and then all these diamonds, you lay them out on a tray and you pick up the number that you need, and it, like, sticks to the other thing. I'll have to show you a video.
Yeah,
but it's very satisfying, and it's just been nice at my new job. I haven't been able to listen to podcasts as much and stuff because I'm training and I'm focusing on what I'm doing. Not that I wasn't at my old job. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, it's not just, you don't know what you're doing, so you're having to think more about it.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, I want an activity I can do while I listen, like, catch up on all my podcasts.
Oh.
So I ordered one on Amazon.
That's awesome. I'll have to check it out.
It's fun.
I actually got through, like, a lot of Harry Potter.
Really?
Yeah. Like, once I got through chapter 2, then I got hooked. And, like,
that's what happens.
So now I'm about halfway through.
Oh, nice.
I read it in the middle of the night.
When you're done.
When I got up.
Give it to me when you're done.
I will. Yeah. So I think I'll probably get through the whole thing, I bet, before January. I bet.
All of them?
Yeah.
Yeah, you definitely will. You read fast.
Once I get hooked, I read all the time.
Yep.
It's just, you gotta hook me.
Well, cool. I'll be right behind you. I'll read them right after you do, and then we can talk about them.
Sounds great.
Because everyone else in the world has already read them, so
yeah,
they won't be interested in the conversation.
Well, now we won't be, like, the losers that don't know what they're talking about.
Yeah.
You know, the outcasts. I don't, the muggles.
The muggles.
We're muggles because we don't know anything about witches and wizards. But anyway, I guess we should get into what we're talking about.
Oh. Oh, are you okay there?
Yeah, I just had a little burp slip out. We are going to talk about like haunted house tales.
Haunted house story, ghost stories.
Yeah, yeah. When I say tales, I mean T-A-L-E-S. Not like a cat's tail, T-A-I-L. Just, I don't know. I thought I had to verify.
In case you were confused.
Verify? I had to clarify.
Clarify. Or wrong. Verify.
Wrong word. Anyway, so Lexi, I think you're going to start us off, right?
I am. There's so many of us to choose from. I'm just kidding. We were joking that we should have had Daddy Dale come in here. Maybe if this ever happens again, we'll have to prep him.
Yes.
And be like, you're telling a story.
Yep. Come on in.
But anyway, well, the first thing.
We can always get Sebastian.
That's true. He loved doing
it. He was so excited.
Yeah. Next time we'll bring Sebastian. I am going to talk first about the Amityville Horror House, not W-H Horror, H-O-R-R-O-R.
So horror.
Horror house.
Not horror.
Yes. And I got this article from the New York Post. And this is just, when people talk about haunted houses and stuff, this is the one that always comes to mind for me. And I know that it's super well known, but I just think it's super interesting. So I'm going to talk about it.
Sounds perfect.
Because this is partially my podcast.
Really? No kidding.
All right. So this article says, it's been more than 45 years since George and Kathy Lutz fled their house in Amityville, Long Island, claiming that it was haunted by evil spirits. The couple's terrifying tale of demonic possession inspired the 1977 book, The Amityville Horror, a hit 1979 movie of the same name, and several sequels, including a 2005 remake. So there's been lots of stuff about this.
And we're the chickens who don't really watch a lot of horror movies, and we have not seen it.
No. And honestly, I probably won't. Watching Insidious, all of those with you, that was tough for me.
Yeah. Yeah, especially that. Which one was that really weird one? Was that
with
the
like the
second one?
Old hospital man?
Or the third one? Yeah, the one where it was about the apartment buildings, not about the people that were in the first two.
I think
two.
That was the third one. And
I think it was.
I did not like it.
No. And it didn't have anything to do with the other characters. It's mm-mm. Like, what are we watching? Why are we watching?
So we probably won't be watching it, but we still are interested.
Did I tell you guys I've watched all the Final Destinations finally?
No.
Because I kept referencing Final Destination just because I knew the base of it.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, you know, I'm a fraud. I talk about it all the time. I just need to watch them. And they were so stupid.
Oh, were they?
Yeah.
It wasn't scary?
No. Oh. It was gory. It was like, if you just want to see gross ways people die, that's a good one. Or, sorry, I'm taking up your time.
Oh, but you're fine.
We watched Renfield the other night.
What is that?
It's like vampire. It's like Dracula's slave or, you know, butler.
Okay.
His name's Renfield. And so it's a movie about Renfield.
Interesting.
And like he's trying to get away from Dracula. Like mm-hmm. he's going to a therapy place for people who are in bad relationships.
Oh.
It was really good, but same. Just blood.
Ew. I don't like stuff like that.
It was a little disturbing.
I have a hard time with the gory stuff. I always look away and tell Sebastian to tell me when it's over. So
well,
I can
and
watch.
That kind of stuff doesn't scare me. But the Amityville with like poltergeists and stuff like that would scare the shit out of me.
Yeah. Okay, so the article continues. Though their story is now widely thought of as a hoax, the Lutz so-called horror house continues to fascinate the public. The three-story colonial house was the site of a slaughter, so a murder, previously. Ronald DeFiro Jr., then 23, gunned down his parents and four siblings in the house on November 13th, 1974, and then the notorious killer died behind bars when he was 69.
That's so disturbing.
Stuff like that scares me because I wouldn't say our family's all mentally sane people, but I can't imagine any of you losing it and like killing all of us.
No.
I would really like, that's just scary for that to happen of your own family.
Are you going to talk any more about him?
Not really.
I just have listened to a podcast about this before and they were saying like, they think like it was very premeditated. He like went to a bar earlier and was talking to people mm-hmm. and it was like he was getting his gun ready, like he was getting all prepared.
Scary.
Scary.
In December 1975, a month after DeFiro was convicted of the murders, the Lutz couple and their three young kids moved into the house, which they had reportedly snatched for $80,000.
Oh, yeah. Of course, they got a discount.
Yeah, but, and like, here's the thing. Me, and this is even coming from me, I freaking see ghosts and stuff. I would have a hard time passing down a three-story, $80,000 house.
Oh, yeah.
In this economy, I'd be like, I'll take it.
Yeah, sold. We can get an exorcist.
Exactly. The day that they moved, the couple had a priest bless the house, but George claimed the holy man felt an unseen hand slap him in the sewing room and heard a voice say, "Get out." So that's what the owner of the house is saying the priest said to them.
Yeah, so he was
unwelcome.
Yeah, it's the good word. Thanks. Sorry.
Soon after, the couple said they began noticing odd things around the house, such as doors being ripped from the hinges, cabinets slamming shut, and a slime oozing from the ceilings, which that's just creepy. That detail specifically, if you have seen the new Haunted Mansion movie, if you haven't, go see it. But how he sees like the water and like that kind of stuff, because the ghost is with him, I imagine like something like that. George, the owner, said that there were odors in the house that came and went, and that there were sounds. The front door would slam shut in the middle of the night, and he said that he couldn't get warm inside the house for multiple days when they moved in.
Oh.
He was just freezing for days.
It was cold all the time.
He claimed that he would mysteriously wake up at 3:15 nearly every single night, around the same time of the murders, that the murders were believed to have happened in the house. At times, his wife was physically transformed into an old woman. And he once even saw her, like, levitating in the air.
I would lose my effing mind.
Same. I'd be scared of her.
Yeah, or I'd be, like, grabbing her and all the kids and be like, GTFO.
Yeah. One night, he heard his children's bed slamming up and down on the floor, but claimed he couldn't do anything because an invisible force was paralyzing him. Which almost makes me wonder if maybe he woke up and was having sleep paralysis and was hearing these noises.
Yep.
The family moved out after 28 days. That's crazy. They didn't even last like a whole month.
Oh,
unless
wow.
It was leap year in February.
So they did GTFO.
Yeah. Reportedly leaving their possessions behind, including clothes and their closets and food in the fridge.
Wow.
2 months later, a local TV crew did a segment on the house, bringing in so-called ghost hunters and paranormal experts to evaluate the couple's claims. It was like a psychic slumber party, reporter Laura Didio recalled to ABC. The team took several photos inside, including a now infamous image apparently showing a ghost boy peering out from one of the bedrooms. The psychics agreed that there was some kind of demonic force present in the house.
Ooh.
The Lutzes later collaborated with author Jay Anson for his best-selling book. The family has said they never signed a contract with him and that the successful film spinoff netted them $300,000.
Oh, okay.
Many people expressed doubts about their horror story, which fell under even more scrutiny after DeFaro's defense attorney, William Weber, admitted he and the couple came up with the tale over several bottles of wine. We took real-life incidents and transposed them, we were reportedly said on the TV program, A Current Affair, in May of 1988. In other words, it was a hoax. Still, George, who died in 2006, maintained that the story was the real deal, telling ABC, "I can just say what I experienced." His son, Daniel Lutz, who was 10 at the time, has said that George invited mysterious and dangerous unseen forces into their lives due to his interest in the occult. So the son, who was 10 at the time, was saying my dad was doing weird stuff
and, like,
to invite them in. The Queen resident recounted his side of the story in the 2013 documentary My Amityville Horror.
Horror.
I can't say it like that. I'm just going to say horror, and you guys have to know what I'm talking about.
Okay.
George's stepson, Christopher Quarantino, who was 7 when he lived in the house, came forward in 2005 to say that the events in the Amityville Horror books,
good job,
and movies had been stretched to the point of fiction.
Well, I mean, that's normal. They take creative liberty when they
write a book
or have a true story. It's like, you gotta, if you're gonna make a movie out of it,
it has to be dramatic.
Yeah, like sometimes, you know, it's true that true life is sometimes stranger than fiction, but then you have to, like, add a little bit of drama to it.
Exactly. Quarantino also said that George was obsessed with the occult and had exaggerated some paranormal incidents he believes did occur when he was a child. So both of his sons are saying he was obsessed with the occult and he was inviting it in.
Mm-hmm.
He's a professional showman, in my opinion. I just feel as though we were being exploited. So that's how his kids felt about the situation.
Man.
Which is sad because I guess, yeah, they were 10 and 7 and they were having all these books written about them and their family and everybody, like, judging
it. So they were
getting
a bunch of attention and then negative attention when people were like, oh, it's all made up.
Yeah, so that's sad.
Really, in the end, the guy wrote a book and there was a bunch of movies. So regardless of whether it was real or whether it was fake, it was still a good story.
Yeah.
It was entertaining, obviously. So
exactly, the Notorious
so who can
House.
Be mad, really?
Exactly. That's true. And look, everybody's obsessed with it, so we all have all this stuff because of it. The Notorious House has passed through the hands of several owners since the Lutzes lived there, and no one else has reported any paranormal activity.
Mm-hmm. Which makes sense if he was the one inviting it in.
Exactly.
So then it might have left with him.
Like, I almost wonder, since maybe I'm sure they obviously knew that the people had died. Had been murdered in the house previously. I almost wonder if maybe he was just super into that kind of stuff.
Oh.
And so maybe he kind of became a little obsessed with it and was maybe trying to talk to them or something.
Probably. And then, but the thing about the murderer, like where he said, oh yeah, we sat around and drank some wine and made it up or whatever.
The attorney?
Well, the Defro guy, whatever.
That it was his attorney.
Oh, his attorney said
that they
made it up.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought it was him, and I was going to say, are you really being, he's not really
trustworthy.
We're going
to trust that guy?
Yeah, it's like, I don't really believe what he says.
And honestly, in the nicest way that I can say this, if you're a defense attorney for murderers, I don't know how much I trust you either.
Yeah, I don't know. You've got to have a different makeup, like a different like sense of morality to do that job.
Yeah. Because I'm saying, like, I get innocent until proven guilty. And if you're arguing that defense and you really think they're innocent, I understand it. But I just can't imagine.
They're guilty, but you're still, you're an attorney. So that's privileged information. You still have to fight for them.
I can't imagine knowing, sitting there talking to someone that I know murdered their entire family and then going in a courtroom and being like, no, don't send them to jail.
Yeah.
Wild.
Hard.
So
hard
anyway,
for me. No, I was just going to say, in my job, I do customer service. So, like, if somebody calls in upset, my goal is to make them not upset. So, like, at the end of the call, when they're like, oh, I'm so glad that I got to talk to you today. You know, you helped me so much. Like, I feel so good.
Mm-hmm.
So they've got to be like that, where it's like, oh, I know he's guilty, but I'm going to work so hard to get him off. And, like, that's what they get excited about, the fact that they win.
Yeah.
And they don't care about anything else.
But then I'm over here thinking, like, okay, let's say they go murder more people. Like, I feel like that's on you to an extent.
Yeah. Yeah,
they wouldn't have probably gotten out of it without you.
Yeah, that's a hard one.
It is.
That's between God, I guess, and those people. I can't judge.
We won't stress about it.
Exactly.
But that's all I had specifically about
that one.
The Amityville house.
Okay, so we're going to go back and forth a little bit. I'll tell some tales and she'll tell some tales. And then that way you don't get bored by just listening to one of us.
But how could you ever get bored of the Dead to the World podcast?
It's true. It's impossible.
It's impossible.
All right. So I found a number of haunted house tales on Reddit. This one is by Digsy. And this is the question he asked. As it's nearly Halloween, how about we share some creepy stories? I'll go first.
I'm down.
And this first one says, when I was about 13, my mom and dad, so they're in
the
I
UK.
Think UK, the mom, M-U-M, and dad invited around our previous neighbors from the block of the flats we lived in until I was 5 years old. Anyway, I'd been sent to bed, but could still hear everyone talking about it, this and that, until the woman neighbor said, hey, Digsy's mom, do you remember when Digsy used to complain that there was someone in his room? Well, there's a family that just moved into the floor above who have a 3-year-old son. He is complaining of the exact same thing that Digsy did.
No.
This creeped me out. I had no recollection. I can't say recollection. I had no recollection of any of this. So the next day, I asked my mom. Her first reaction was, you don't remember? Then she told me all about the weird stuff that used to happen. Footsteps up and down the hall, shit going missing and stuff. She said that the final thing that happened was when she was listening to a record one day and it started to slow down, like someone was holding a finger gently on the platter till it finally came to a stop.
Ooh.
My mom said that she snapped at this point and started shouting, will you just leave us the F alone? As soon as she said this, the record went straight back to playing normally, and we never experienced anything again.
Oh, wow.
I've never experienced anything like that since, and these days, I'm quite skeptical of such stories, but I believe my mom. Strangest thing is how I found out about it from someone else 10 years later experiencing something similar. But I think it's interesting, like, he blocked it out.
Yeah. Well, I feel like if it probably maybe really scared you as a kid, that makes sense.
I guess that's true.
I was going to say something, and now I don't remember what it was.
Well, okay.
Maybe it'll come back.
Yeah, I'll keep talking. Here, I'll read one more and then we'll switch over to you. Does that work?
Yeah.
Okay. This is from Dr. Octagonopus.
That's the Reddit name.
That's the Reddit name.
At first, I thought you were saying like a real doctor.
Yeah. I like that name, Octagonopus. All right. Okay. This is 100% true, even though most people I tell this in real life don't believe me. When I was really little, my parents would let me stay up late on weekends and watch TV until I fell asleep. I really loved these times, and I would stay up later than anybody else just because I could. Well, one night, I was almost asleep on the couch when I heard a noise on our front porch. It sounded the sound of our old-fashioned porch swing moving back and forth. I was a little scared, so I crept towards the bay window of my living room and peeked out towards the porch. Sitting on the front porch swing was an older woman, probably in her 50s, wearing nothing but a nightgown, covered in blood and holding a huge kitchen knife. I flipped out immediately and ran screaming into my parents' room, but was too terrified to form words. My parents saw that I was upset, but when I finally was able to tell them what I saw, my dad got really angry and told me that it was just a dream and to go back to bed. I refused and kept crying and screaming until he had had enough and snatched my arm and dragged me towards the front door to prove that nothing was there. I kicked and screamed all the way, trying to make him stop, but he kept pulling me. Finally, we got to the door. He unlocked it, swung it open, said, "See, there's nothing there." To this day, I have never seen the look of fear and shock that was on his face when the woman turned and stared at both of us and slowly stood up with the knife. My dad slammed the door shut and got my mom to call the police while he went and got his gun. He went back to the door with a 12-gauge and cracked the door enough to stick the barrel out. He asked her what she was doing and said, "Somebody killed my husband, but it wasn't me." My dad told her that the police were coming and she freaked out, grabbed the knife and walked away.
What the heck?
The police found her 15 minutes later trying to break into one of our neighbor's houses. I never slept in the living room again. Yeah, so that one, I just thought it was funny because you think it's going to be a ghost and it was actually a real person. Yeah,
that's scary.
And there's an edit. Oh, yeah. I forgot that after she left, my dad called and warned my crazy uncle who lives next door what was happening. Apparently, he was waiting on the front porch with his shotgun when she walked by, pointed it at her and said, "Just keep moving, bitch."
Oh, that's hilarious.
Oh gosh. Okay, one more, sorry. And then it says update. I just talked to my mom and she said that they never really found out the whole story, but apparently she was crazy and off her medication. That's really rude, crazy, but she had mental illness. And well, I guess he said his uncle was crazy too, but I don't care if he calls his uncle crazy. Just don't call other people crazy.
Well, it's like if someone has an actual mental illness that is affecting them, it's rude just to call them crazy.
Exactly. Her and her husband had got into a fight and she tried to attack him with a knife, but it didn't seriously hurt him. When he got her out of the house, she cut herself with a knife, either trying to commit suicide or to make it look like her husband did it. The police never talked to us about it, so that's just what they heard from the woman's neighbor.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
That's wild.
Very wild.
Also, whether you think it's a ghost or a real thing, or you think your kids are making it up, I think sometimes we should just believe our kids.
Yeah. Well, and at least just go look. Like, how hard is it to get up and go look with them?
Like, dragging her back out there to look. Like, I get it, because he's probably like, "Look, I'm going to show you that there's nothing there." And then just re-traumatizes her because the lady's still there.
Oh, yeah. And then, like, I just can picture that. The door, the dad opening the door. Like, "See, there is something there." Oh. Wait, just kidding. I'm wrong. And I just opened the door to it.
That's scary.
All right. Do you want to read some of your stories?
Yes. So the stories that I have are from an article on thetravelchannel.com. The first one is titled, "It Wasn't a Little Girl."
Ooh.
I maybe shouldn't read the titles. It might give stuff away. But you already know this one. So that'll be for future reference. It says, "I was camping with my husband and his family at a small remote lake in New Mexico. There were about 10 people in our group and another group of 6 people in the next campsite. It was nighttime and both groups were doing typical activities, making s'mores, having a few drinks, and telling stories. When we all heard a sound that sounded like a little girl yelling out for help. Neither group had children with them, but we were all positive we were hearing the little girl and decided to search the area we heard the noises from together. There was a field behind our campsite, and we all saw a very tall, pure white figure standing maybe 100 feet away from us in the field, making the noises. We all agreed that this thing looked maybe 6 feet tall, skinny, and white as can be. We made our way closer to investigate, but whatever it was that we saw started backing off as we got closer, and it disappeared into the trees."
Isn't that like the rake or the wraith? Or
the rakey? The rake? I think it's just called the rake.
Yeah.
I don't know, though.
That's what it sounds like to me.
But it says, "All night, we continued to hear a little girl calling for help as we tried to sleep."
Oh, it's not.
So whatever it was trying to lure them.
I think it's the Wraith.
The Wraith.
No, the Wraith. I'm so confused. Don't worry. Don't listen to me. I don't remember.
I don't know what you're talking about.
There is something that's supposedly out in the woods that looks like you're talking about.
Oh, okay.
That's white and stuff. And
we'll have to look it up.
Don't remember what it's called.
Spooky business. But that definitely sounds like some creepy evil spirit trying to lure you into the woods.
Yeah.
Don't go.
Don't go. If you hear stuff at night, don't go.
Do you want me to read another one?
Sure.
Okay. Well, we can do two and then go back to the other person. Okay. The next one is called The Walking Dead, after I literally just said I wouldn't tell you what they're called.
That's okay. But that's the thing. Oh, it wasn't a little girl because they heard a little girl's cry.
Uh-huh.
But it was definitely not a little girl. Got it.
So this one says, I'm a psychiatric nurse and early in my career, I worked at a residential medical health facility. One of our residents was an elective mute, which meant that he didn't/wouldn't/couldn't talk, but there was no medical reason as to why. He had spoken earlier in his life and in fact seemed quite normal back then, with the exception of being close to 7 feet tall. He'd been raised in the Deep South and joined the military when he was 19, but one night he vanished. He was declared AWOL, and eventually he was declared missing and dead. 10 years later, a 7-foot-tall man walked into a Virginia hospital emergency room in my part of the Midwest and said to the receptionist, my name is Marion Duchesne, and they put in parentheses, that's not the real name, and I've been dead for 10 years. And those were the last words he ever spoke. He was covered with dust, and he was wearing the same clothes he'd been reported to be wearing the night he vanished. His social security number had not been used, and he had no identification on his person. However, they were able to identify him, I guess, via fingerprints. The family was notified, but they said they had already grieved their loss and that whoever was claiming to be him simply could not be. They demanded not to be contacted again, which I think that part is sad. I'm like, if it's the possibility that it's your kid, would you not still want to come see?
That is crazy.
Wild. Anyway, Marion paced all day, every day, moving his mouth that looked like talking or muttering, but no sound came out. He had an unnerving habit of throwing his head back with his mouth wide open as if he were laughing heartily, but not even a breath would be heard. If I talked to him, he appeared to listen, periodically throwing his head back with that laughter-mimicking way of his. Various medications were tried, but they did not affect him either positively or negatively. Occupational therapy did nothing because Marion would just grin and unless told to stay put, he would get up and start pacing again. On my last day at this job, the last thing I saw was Marion pacing in the parking lot, throwing his head back to laugh. Later, I wondered if all along I had been dealing with a ghost. All these years later, I still don't even know.
Oh my God. That's crazy. That's a lot more crazy than the lady on the porch.
Both crazy stories. But yeah, that one is wild.
But that one seems so realistic.
It does. Like, but it is interesting that like his family was like, no, he's dead. Like whoever that is, isn't him.
Yeah, but
weird. And then it's like, what happened to him?
Yeah, so he disappeared.
For 10 years. And then just showed up.
And it's like, oh, I've been dead for 10 years.
Yeah.
That's random.
So weird.
Maybe he got abducted by aliens.
Maybe he was a ghost that just everyone was seeing for some reason.
Maybe, or he just got possessed, like his body got possessed by something else. But
scary.
I don't know. 10 years, but then being healthy.
Yeah.
Like, they didn't say he was like, hadn't been eating or. Mm-mm.
He just acted a little
weird.
It's
not like you could not eat for 10 years and be fine.
Yeah.
But then there's all that voodoo stuff we talk about. Maybe it doesn't say probably where.
Virginia.
It was at. Oh, Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
No, that's not voodoo territory.
Mm-mm.
Interesting. So I looked it up. It is the rake.
Oh, okay. That you were thinking of.
Yeah. It's just, I just kept thinking afterwards. I'm like, well, a rake is what you use to get the leaves in your lawn. Like, that can't be what it is, but it literally is just R-A-K-E.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's what you described pretty much.
Yeah. Scary. I think we posted a picture of the rake before,
but we
can do it again.
Yeah, we did. I remember. I think Tasha had a story about him or something.
I think so.
So, all right, let me get back to my story. So this one was from a deleted post, so I don't know the name of the person.
It's so interesting that stuff stays on Reddit even if it's deleted.
Yeah, if the username's deleted.
Yeah.
But it does take away their connection to the thing. So you don't know who it was.
I guess that's true.
I think sometimes that happens. People share a lot of stuff and then all of a sudden they're like, oh, I don't want to be connected to this anymore. Somebody figures out their username and then they're like, nope. And they do a new one.
You're interviewing for a new job and they find your Reddit and you're like, oh no.
Yeah, no, we don't want that to happen. So, all right, this one says, my university was bisected by a big lake with a bridge going across it with an island gazebo in the middle. One night I was walking down the side of the lake about to cross the bridge to go to the dorm on the other side. As I was walking down the sidewalk, I noticed some kid in a gray-white hoodie. with the hood up, walking across the section of the bridge on my side of the gazebo towards my sidewalk. I didn't think anything of him until I walked by a big tree, which blocked my line of sight. When I got past the tree, I happened to glance back at the bridge, and there was no one there. He couldn't possibly have walked off the bridge. He would have had to go right past me. And if he had turned around in the split second I couldn't see him, he wouldn't have had time to get all the way back to the island either. He was just gone. This gets creepier. About a year later, I was about to tell the story to a friend who had been abroad that semester. He never heard it. And even before I got to what I saw, he cut in with, "Wait, did you see the guy with the hoodie disappear?" Yes, he had seen something just his freshman year. Effing weird. I hated walking across that bridge alone from there on out.
Oh my gosh, that's creepy. It must be a residual haunting.
That's what I would think too. Some boy, maybe he fell off the bridge and drowned in the lake or something at some point.
That's crazy that they both saw it.
Yeah, it's like, and that's always confirmation that you're not crazy.
Yeah.
When they're like, oh no, don't tell me. I think I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, this one's from Lithodora. When I was younger, we frequently visited my grandparents around the holidays, even though we didn't live in the same town. My aunt lived two houses down from my grandparents. The lady in the house between was creepy. She was a large woman, over 6 feet. I think that's
what?
It. Yeah. That's like a normal for a guy, but not as normal for a girl. But
well, and we're all very short around here.
Yeah, so 6 feet is like what? She wore logging. She wore logging chains around her neck, a dress, and work boots. The only time I remember seeing her outside was either in her garden in the back or when she was washing the outside of her house, scrubbing the actual building. She did this often.
Interesting.
So, yeah, maybe before, pressure washers? I don't know. During these times, she would yell at us kids and call us all kinds of things. She would tell us the devil was coming for us. The adults told us to leave her alone and to avoid her. We would run the distance between my aunts and my grandparents because when you pass by, she was watching out the windows. It was creepy and we never went alone. One Halloween, one of the cousins dared us to trick or treat at her house. I remember how scared I was, but I didn't want to be a chicken. Plus, I was going with the group. One of us rang the doorbell and there was a lot of banging noises in the house suddenly, like doors slamming. When she answered the door, she had a severed head in her hand and we all went screaming. The adults told us, she doesn't say what kind of head. She had a severed head in her hand.
Maybe she just means a human one.
I don't know. I think later it tells you what it was. I don't think it was a human head. But anyway, the adults told us it was a Halloween prop and we knew we shouldn't be bothering her and deserved to be scared. About a month later, my parents got a phone call that the lady had tried to kill my aunt while she was bringing in the groceries and had my young cousin in her arms. The lady had one of them rope saws that had come up behind my aunt with it. She put it over her head and around her neck and proceeded to saw.
What?
So instead of like choking and like back and forth.
Oh my gosh.
My aunt naturally flipped and started kicking the door. My uncle came and beat the lady with a fire poker. The police investigation revealed that the woman had been digging tunnels under her home, which were coming in under my aunt's, my grandparents, and other neighbors' houses. She had been bringing the dirt up and putting it in her raised beds in the garden. She also had a shrine of some sort underground, which had a few severed heads around it. My aunt survived, by the way, but has a long scar across her neck.
Were they actual severed human heads?
It must be, because for some reason, when I read this story before, when I was picking it, I thought it was like a goat. I thought it said it was like a goat's head. But no, it just says a severed head, so a human head. And she had human heads downstairs.
I'm terrified.
I think she was very, very
mentally ill.
Yeah.
I'm scared of that, though. That's terrifying.
Do you want to read another story?
Yes, I would love to.
You can read one. I just have one left after.
Okay.
So it's up to you.
Unless
you have more you want to read.
I have two more that I would like to read.
Okay.
All right.
Do it.
Oh, these are good stories, though. They're like wild.
Ooh, I like this subject.
I like it, too. Okay. This next one, I'm not going to read the title. You're going to have to be guessing. It says, I was driving across country with my mom and sister when I was 16 and my sister was 20. It was late, but we were well rested and still alert. We were driving along an interstate and needed gas and a bathroom break, so we were stopped at the only rest stop in 200 miles. There was a van full of teenagers on a road trip at the gas station, as well as a small gray car parked at the pump in front of us, and two young men standing still outside of it. This is not part of the story, but this is reminding me of it. The other day I saw a TikTok that was saying, like, statistically, a gas station is one of the most unsafe places in the world for a woman.
Yep.
And literally then, this morning, I on my way to work, I really wanted like an energy drink or something, because mm-hmm. we're in Utah, whatever.
Yeah.
And I passed a 7-Eleven on my way to work. So I pulled in the parking lot and there were these two guys literally standing like right in front of the door. Just they were giving me bad vibes. Like yeah. just standing there staring at everyone in the parking lot. And like mm-hmm. when I pulled up, they both were just watching me and I was like, I'm not even gonna I'm just gonna back right up and leave.
Not doing it, not doing it. Well, way to listen to your gut.
Yeah. So anyway, that was random. When we got there, everything felt wrong. We'd been on the road for days and seen many rest stops at night and had never been afraid until then. My mom and sister went inside and I stayed in the car. I heard the teenagers say that they were creeped out and couldn't get the pump to work and they left in a hurry. I was watching the car in front of us and the two men had not moved at all, not an inch. They weren't talking. They weren't on phones. They were just standing there still as stone. My sister and mom came running back out to the car, and when they got in, the two men slowly turned to look at us while not moving or pivoting the rest of their bodies. And I swear to effing shit, we all saw the same thing. They had eyes dark as pitch and empty. So dark black, sorry.
Oh my gosh, I like black-eyed kids, but two men.
It says truly empty, not black, but not reflecting any light at all, just void.
Okay.
Ooh. We sped out of there and we didn't stop until we were in the next city. The worst thing about the entire experience, we couldn't find the place on any map. We knew exactly which spot on the interstate to look and we couldn't find it on Google Maps or any paper map that we had. We even asked locals about the creepy gas station out on that stretch of road and got only confused looks. We've traveled on that interstate since and there's no rest stop.
So it was almost like they like went to another reality or something.
Yeah.
Just like blipped into something
scary.
That is very scary. And those guys, like, oh, that, I would lose my crap.
Same.
Yeah.
If someone just looked at you with like really creepy eyes like that, I'd be like, gotta go.
Gotta go. Bye.
Okay. I have one more.
Okay.
It says, we were driving my friends. Also, now that I'm reading these, I'm realizing we said haunted house stories.
I know. And we haven't really said any haunted house stories.
But we talked about the Amityville house. So I think we did our duty.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. I realized. I was just like, I just picked stories that were creepy.
Creepy ghost. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. It says, we were driving my friend's really old beat up Subaru through a massive graveyard. Just asking for trouble, apparently.
Exactly.
We stopped and walked down a hill and came across a little pond. There was someone sitting on a rock on the other side of the pond. The figure was all black and we couldn't make out any features other than the fact that it looked like a man who was wearing some old style top hat. Oh, I can't.
The hat man. Yeah.
We stupidly waved and shouted, hi. He didn't show any acknowledgement and continued sitting still on the rock. All of a sudden, he jumped to his feet and started running to us on the water. And then vanished into thin air about halfway on the pond. My friend and I screamed and ran back to the car. The car wouldn't start, and we heard something banging on the back of the car. It wasn't a constant bang, but every few seconds or so, we'd hear it. Nobody was outside from what we could see in the dark, but something was making a noise on the car. I opened my phone and started dialing my mom to come give us a boost, but I had no service. None of us had any cell service. The next 30 minutes, we spent trying to get her car started. No banging was heard afterwards, but we felt this heavy pressure around us. Finally, the car started and she hit the pedal to the metal. We sped out of the graveyard so fast. Immediately crossing the gates, all of our phones regained cell service. One thing I know for certain is that someone or something was out there and it was not an animal or a human.
Across the water.
Yeah.
They literally were in a dead zone.
Yeah,
like they on a graveyard,
and they didn't have cell service. Yeah,
and the phone and their car wouldn't start.
Yeah,
but you know that you hear that a lot in these kind of ghost stories. Like if you go to a haunted bridge or something, and then you get stuck there because the ghost is like, "Oh, I'm going to take all the energy from your car, so
probably
your battery can't start your car."
Well, that's what I was thinking because they always say it is like electricity and.
Yeah, they
stuff
manipulate
like
electricity and use it to manifest.
Scary.
From what we know.
I'm so scared of the Hat Man. If you are listening to this and you're not familiar with what the Hat Man is, go listen to our very first spooktacular episode.
Oh, yeah.
So I know we talk about him there.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I guess this isn't haunted house tales. This is more just like scary stories.
Ghosty, creepy stories.
Yeah, something like that. All right. So this is my next one, and it's from I Hate Addicts.
Oh.
I also hate attics. Just kidding. To be honest, I've never lived in a house that like had an attic that we went up in really. Like,
oh, our, attic.
Attic.
I thought you were saying attics. And I was like, it's not very nice of you to say that you hate like people who get addicted to things.
No, like an actual attic in a house.
And then I thought you were going to say you've like never lived in a house with an addict. Like,
yeah. And that would be a lie too. My brother was, a drug addict.
Yeah, that's why the whole time you were talking, I was like, I do not understand
what you're saying. Like, A-T-T-I-C.
The level above everything else.
Yes. Okay. So like in Charlotte, we had a little bit of an attic in my closet, but it was just up to the furnace. And like we had a teeny bit of storage there. It wasn't like you ever were. It's not like these attics you see on all these movies that actually could be finished into a room.
Yeah.
Like a big area. And actually, if you watch, I think it was on Kindred Spirits, which is my favorite like ghost type show. They do, I think it was an old bank that then got turned into like a bar and like restaurant. And they like show the attic up there and it's like huge. It has like this big, I don't know, I think the building had like a tall thing on top of it, like a square that just went up, like just decorative or whatever. But it actually is open in the attic. And I'm like, wow, if the place wasn't haunted, it's like the beautiful attic. I'm like, can I just have access to that attic? I could make that my house.
That's funny.
Because it's like really big and beautiful.
Every time I think about an attic, I think of like those spots in the ceilings that you can lift up. Whatever that like kind of goes up there, but it's not like an actual.
Yeah, it doesn't have like the stairs
and stuff. And then that always just reminds me of Daddy Dale's terrifying ghost story.
Oh yeah, that came out of the top of the closet.
And if you haven't heard that, it's also in our very first spooktacular episode. That scares me. Whenever I think about that story, I like can't sleep.
Oh yeah, well it's like so like oh my gosh, ghosts are real.
Well, and yeah, and coming from dad, because not that he doesn't believe it or anything, but like he's not as into it as we are. He doesn't talk about it as much.
Yeah, he's not looking for it. He watches the ghost things with me. He only likes Kindred Spirits. When I watch other ones, he watches, but he really just like plays on his phone. Like, he doesn't really care about them.
So yeah, it coming from him like scares me even more. I know. It's so true.
But he's had so many. I swear he has like the best guardian angel because he's had so many. I know we've talked about it here, like times when he should have crashed and things just worked out just fine.
Yeah.
Like the dude's like been in some situations that really could have made him die a lot of times.
That is very true.
And then, you know what's funny? We were having a conversation the other day about like medical technology because, you know, it's just funny. I'm going through all these medical things and like we have this amazing technology, but we still can't figure out what's wrong. But then we were talking about how when we were kids, like I had croup really bad one time when I was two and had to be admitted in the hospital and be intubated. And just thinking about if that would have been 50 years earlier, like I would have just died. Like there wouldn't have been medical help.
So I'm not laughing at you would have died. I'm laughing because I've heard you talk about this before. This is the very first time I'm connecting that you said intubated.
Intubated, yeah.
Not incubated.
Oh, you thought I was just in the little.
I thought you were a baby inside one of those little things, but I'm realizing they put the thing down your throat.
Yeah, they had to put the tube down my throat because my throat closed.
That's scary.
Like my lungs weren't working right.
Yeah, I never fully understood that story.
Yeah, and they had me. It's my very first memory, actually. I didn't know what it was until one day I was telling my mom, and she's like, "You remember that?
That's crazy."
But I only just have one memory. I'm like in a crib with like metal bars and there's like a sheet or something covering it and I can hear a machine. And as I grew up, because of the croup, we would have a humidifier all the time. So I thought it was a humidifier, but it wasn't. It was the machine that was keeping me breathing.
Oh my gosh.
And it was like really bright all the way. Like it was in a room, obviously, with all the lights on.
Yeah.
But I didn't see anybody. So I didn't really know. It was just like a weird memory of like that just one moment. I guess it was traumatizing enough that I remembered it, but
yeah.
I don't remember being scared. You know, I kind of wonder if it maybe was at the point that they finally like got me good oxygen and I was like finally able to kind of relax or whatever. Maybe. I took a nap or something and then I woke up and that's what I remember. I don't know. But anyway, I do have another story. Sorry.
I'm ready.
From I Hate Addicts.
Oh yeah. And wow. that was quite the tangent.
It was. Sorry. Okay. Firstly, my wife is also a Redditor and has been severely traumatized by our recent experience. She does not like to talk about this, so to prevent anyone from sending her messages, this is a throwaway account.
Okay.
So they purposely created an account, I Hate Addicts, just for this particular story. My wife and I buy our first home in February of 2010. We immediately fell in love with it as soon as we laid eyes on it. I had everything. Oh, it had everything we wanted, plus a few extras. For the first month, everything was great. Lots of painting and decorating, getting it just the way we wanted. Then weird things started to randomly happen. First, it was small things, like things upstairs being moved, put in a completely different room than where they belonged. I chalked it up to my wife just forgetting to put things back where they belonged. The house also started to creak pretty loud. This is a fairly new house, so I just figured that it was probably settling, as most new houses tend to do. One day, my wife and I were preparing dinner in the kitchen. Our stairs sit next to the kitchen entrance, so any noises upstairs were clearly audible into the kitchen. I turned off the water at the sink, and as soon as I did, we both heard a cough. We had no kids, and no one was visiting. The windows were all shut. The TV was not on. This sent a cold chill down my spine that I could feel the blood running out of my face. I looked to my wife. And she, too, has gone pale and had a look of absolute fear. Someone was in our house, and they were upstairs.
Ooh.
I quickly grabbed the sharpest knife I could find, and my wife called the police. I walked to the bottom of the steps and stood silently and heard a loud pop creak, just like the ones I had always heard the house make. My hands were shaking, and my wife was whispering to the 911 operator, telling them that they think we have a robber in our home. The police arrive in minutes. Thankfully, they had been patrolling nearby. The officer walks slowly up the stairs, gun drawn. He calls out, "This is the police. Is anyone upstairs?" No response. I'm right behind him walking up the stairs. We look into the first bedroom and closet, empty. No one in the half bath either. Last room is my office where I have my PC. No one in the room or the closet. I felt the tension ease away and felt like a complete tool, making the officer search the house, only to find nothing. We turned to walk out of the room, and right above us, creak, I just about shit bricks. In my office closet, there's an attic access.
Ugh.
The officer pulls the steps down and calls out again, "Is anyone up there? This is the police." No response. He turns on his flashlight and peeks his head up. He finds a man in his 40s, kneeling there in the attic, looking dead at him. Gun drawn, he tells the man to come out and put his hands behind his head. They arrest the man. He didn't say a word the whole time and would not look anyone in the eye. He was scruffy looking and had dirty clothes on.
He was probably living up there?
Mm-hmm. Me and my wife were freaking out. I don't think either of us has fully gotten over it. After questioning the man in the police station, we found out that he was a homeless man who found refuge in the house while it was still on the market. He said the doors were unlocked, so he stayed there. Apparently, a realtor must have forgotten to lock the door after showing someone the house. He said that when people would come to the house, he would just hide in the second floor attic. We bought the house, and this guy was living in it the whole month without us even knowing.
Oh my gosh.
It really freaks me out still just thinking about it.
That is literally wild.
That is wild. And I lied. I had two stories. Okay. I have one more.
All right.
For some reason, I just thought when I was looking at it that it was just one big one. And this one is from A-Punk.
Same.
When I was a kid, I used to go to visit my uncle's lodge during the school holidays. It was on this huge property that backed onto the edge of bushland, so my brother and I always had a whole bunch of stuff to do to keep us occupied. I remember I was with my dog one day and playing near the empty creek when he suddenly took off into the trees. Everyone else had gone into town, and my dad was asleep inside, so I was pretty much alone and decided to go after him. He was much quicker than I was, and I got lost pretty quickly. I was starting to get a bit upset because I couldn't find the dog and I had no idea where I was. So I turned around from where I thought I came from and tried to run back and get my dad so he could help me find him. From what I remember, I tripped over a tree root or something and fell down this embankment. I must have hit my head or something because I woke up in the bottom of the small gully, not knowing how I got there. Everything was still a bit fuzzy. What actually woke me up was my dog licking my face. He was laying right next to me. He had found me. I don't know, but I was really happy to see him. But then he started barking, but it was a bark that I hadn't really heard him do before. He was still lying flat on his stomach. That's the strange thing I remember about that part. A really strange, laying down, grumbled sort of bark. It made me scared a little. I turned to see what he was looking at, and there was a guy standing there. Mm-hmm. I remember he had this really faded cowboy hat thing on his head with a big chunk missing on the side. Hey, kid, you had a pretty bad fall, but you should be all right. Let's get you back to your home. He said it is really deep voice. Okay, so he had a deep voice. Sorry. Then he walked over to me, picked me up, grabbed my hand, and we started walking back through the brush. The two things I remember from walking were holding his gloves, which I thought was weird because it was in the middle of the summer and really hot at that time. The other one was my dog was walking too close to me. I was pretty much tripping the whole way back because he kept smacking into the side of my legs on the way.
He was trying to protect you.
Yeah. The guy didn't say anything, though. In fact, I don't really remember him saying anything at all apart from the first time he spoke. I don't think we walked for that long of a distance because we reached the creek bed really quickly, and I could hear my name being called out by my dad for dinner. I started to run up to the house and remembered I forgot to thank the guy for getting me. So I turned and yelled, "Thanks, mister," but he was already gone. I just figured he was in a hurry or something. A few days later, I was in the supermarket with my mom. It was one of those small country towns, ones that kind of sell everything and everyone knows everyone else there. So I'm kind of just wandering around and there's this photo up on the wall of this guy in a cowboy hat with a big chunk in the side missing. It was the guy who helped me in the woods. I wanted to thank him and give him something for helping me before. So I asked the person working there who he was. Turns out he was the original owner of the store around 30 years ago, but he died in a freak accident in the woods where my dog and I were apparently,
where they fell.
Sorry, the punctuation in this article wasn't very good. I should have fixed it. Apparently back in the day, he used to grow vegetables for the store himself in the middle of the woods. I don't know why. I guess the soil was more fertile or something. He went one day to see how they were growing when a really bad storm started. Apparently, he was trying to get back, but his dog, who always went with him, fell down a really steep embankment into a small gully. So this guy went after it. While he was down there, a branch broke off of a tree and hit him, breaking his back. They didn't find him till weeks later. His dog was also found with him by his side. It died of starvation.
Oh, no.
That's how I found out about Mr. Rogerson.
I hate everything about that.
I know.
Other than the fact that it was actually just a nice ghost.
Yeah.
Taking him back.
But that's so sad that the dog didn't leave his side and died with him because he was just refused to leave him.
That's my argument sometimes. I'm not saying that dogs' lives are more valuable than humans' lives. I am also not saying that humans' lives are more valuable than dogs' lives.
Because
in my opinion, I think it's
equal. They're equal, yeah.
But that's what I'm saying. Dogs are loved so unconditionally, or animals do. I don't know, cats, they'd eat you if you did. And they were starving. I'm just saying. It's true, but, scientifically.
Yeah, but this happens all the time where dogs do that.
I know. I'm saying, like, that's why it upsets me so much when people hurt dogs. I'm like, they're so loyal and loving that he stayed by him and died when he easily could have left and gone to go look for food or something.
Exactly. And he could have, I mean, the guy was already dead, so he didn't need to run and get him help because he died right away.
It makes me so sad that the poor dog just laid there and starved to death.
I know. It's very, very sad. It's all sad. But it was good. So I guess apparently he probably fell down the same embankment.
And the guy was probably like,
and the guy's like, "Well, let me help you get home."
Yeah.
Don't want you to die out here like I did.
Well, and the fact that the kid had a dog too. The guy's probably like, "You're me."
That's true. That's true. And it's funny. So the dog was like a little weary of him, but not enough not to let him walk them.
I wonder if the ghost dog was there and they just didn't see it.
Oh, that could be. Oh. I don't know. But yeah, that's a good story. So yeah, these really had nothing to do with haunted houses. But hey, they were really good stories. I guess I forgot what the assignment was when I was finding them.
Clearly so did I. Mine were all about road trips and stuff. So that's all right.
Anything spooky. That's fine.
It's just more about ghosts, I guess.
We achieved it. Ghosts and mentally ill people who do weird things.
Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween.
All right. Well, we hope you enjoyed this episode. Please don't forget to rate and review us wherever you listen.
And to send us your emails at deadtotheworldpodcast@gmail.com.
And to follow us on social media at deadtotheworldpodcast.
Yep, and join the dream team. What do we call it again? Sorry.
DTTW, yes. Dream team.
Yes, dead to the world, DTTW, dream team. So, and yeah, join us next week to find out what happens
when we are dead to the world. Ha 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 ha.